Welcome to Hungry in Nashville. May I take your order?
The goal of this podcast is to introduce you to the people you rarely get to meet, but are important to putting food on your table. The farm is where it all begins, and today you'll meet a man who has run Bottom View Farm in Portland, Tennessee for nearly 60 years. Around 2007, he began growing strawberries, and rather than harvest his own crop, he opted to let customers pick their own.
I'm Ralph Cook. I'm 80 years old. I've been here all my life.
In farming, like any other business, things change a lot over 50 years. He told us the story of what changes he had to make while we were in the Bottom View Farm restaurant.
Well, I was in the dairy business. I worked 10 years for the post office in Portland. And I tried to get on grade A for years and couldn't. And finally, they agreed to let me on in 1968. I got on grade A, and then we milked till 2007. And we sold that part of the farm, and we was already doing what we're doing here. And it's just my son and I, so we just thought it was best maybe to get rid of the dairy and devote all of our time to this. And the tobacco buyout come along about that time, and we got out of that. So I don't know what year we started raising strawberries, but had strawberries and apples and peaches and blackberries and blueberries, and we've kind of put a restaurant together here on the farm, and we do weddings and birthday parties and just kind of stay busy.
Being a dairy farmer has its own problems. Animals need to be fed, milked, and tended all day long, rain or shine. The techniques used for growing strawberries are skills that must be learned.
I went to a Strawberry Association meeting in Arkansas three times to try to learn as much as I could about the strawberries. And I met a man by the name of Jim Goodson from Damascus, Arkansas, and he was really helpful. I mean, sometimes when you start doing something, people view you as competitive and they don't want to tell you very much. But him being in Arkansas and me in Tennessee, it didn't seem to matter with him. And I don't know whether I could ever made it without him or not. He really helped me a lot.
Ralph said one of the most important things he learned was which varieties of strawberries to grow.
Stay with Chandler strawberries. He said, we never have tried any other variety until this year. We put out some Sweet Charlies and some Camarosas. But yield-wise, he said, if you're going to try to make money out of them, you need to stick with Chandler's. And that was probably the best advice he ever gave me. Not be tinkering around with a little bit of everything.
Once the berries are ripe, they have to sell quickly or they will go bad. For Ralph, surplus berries go to nearby nursing homes or to those in need. A farmer in another state had a different idea. He loaded up his truck with surplus berries and headed for Portland, where he planned to sell them cheap.
Several years ago, I was confronted with strawberries coming from another state here that was, they had an abundant supply, and they was going to be cheap after they got to Portland, Tennessee. And they said, what are you going to do? Are you going to try to compete with the price? And I said, I can't compete with the price, but I can compete with the taste. If you want something good to eat, you got to stay away from it. If you don't care what you're eating, then just go buy something cheap.
Ralph has 4 acres of strawberries that will soon open for pickers. To get to this point, he started last year.
The type of strawberries we raise, that's the bad part right there. They're just a one-year deal. We set usually the last week in September, and then we use it most of the time. We'll start picking around the 25th of April, which is not many days away. And sometimes we have picked strawberries for 6 weeks. Strawberries depends on the weather. They don't like real hot weather. Once it gets 90-something degrees, it really makes it hard on them. And that'll happen long around the 1st of June, and maybe even sooner, because they predict an 85 here in a day or two. Then as soon as they're through, we get rid of the plants, work the ground, and start all over again.
Sometimes he'll double crop the strawberry fields. That's simply planting another crop once the strawberry season is done. Every few years, he'll move his entire strawberry operation to different land. In its place, Ralph will grow pumpkins or other things. Such techniques help improve yield, and that makes for a good year. Like this one.
I noticed the weather this morning, the next 7 days is still pretty good weather-wise. 1 year we had a bad freeze, the 18th day of April, killed nearly everything. So I've always had the feeling if I can get by the 15th, I'm pretty good shape. And looks like now the weather's good through the 15th, so maybe it'll be good.
The University of Tennessee Extension has done research on PYO operations and their customers. The Extension Service says customers are motivated by freshness, quality, price, and the experience of visiting a farm. They have higher income and education levels than the average person. They will travel 20 to 25 miles to get to the farm. They're around 50 years old, come in groups of two or more, and often bring children.
It's kind of got a little funny story about that. 3 years ago, I live on a dead-end road, and I was hauling strawberries to the strawberry parade. We had a booth up there, and people were buying them just fast as I could haul them up there. But when I wasn't there, the people working in the booth was telling them I had them out at the farm. Things got so bad out here, we had to go up the end of the road and keep people from coming back in here. It was just a traffic jam. They even called the county police out here, and he looked at me and he said, "Feller, I don't know what to do with it. You do it the best way you can." Because actually it was a county road. We had so many people didn't want nowhere for them to turn around. But it was a good thing, but it's kind of bad too at the same time. Actually, I hadn't raised my prices in 4 years, and I may need to, but it's expensive to put out strawberries the way we do. You got about $5,000 an acre before you ever pick a strawberry. That's pretty good little, you got to overcome that with somewhere along the way. Now, last year, we didn't overcome it. The season just wasn't long. The strawberries was good, but just wasn't long enough and come in so late in the year. A lot of our customers actually thought, well, he's not got strawberries now, you know, it's getting so late. But actually, it was just getting good at that point.
People like Ralph's strawberries. They come a long way to buy them, and he tries to maintain a good supply. Still, while the weather can lead to a great crop, it can also keep customers away. In those times, the marketing work he's done elsewhere pays off. He sells to restaurants, ice cream producers, and there are people who don't want to pick their own. They just want to buy a bucket or two. And like other PYO farms, there are attractions to bring customers to the fields.
We like to kind of advertise. You can come pick fruit and eat breakfast and then go to the strawberry patch. You know, that's kind of a big deal with us. Or maybe come eat breakfast and then go pick blueberries or whatever, you know. We like to think that our prices in the restaurant is very competitive with anybody else and maybe even cheaper. I don't know. But we try to serve good food and at the same time welcome people out to have a day on the farm, more or less.
Stores worry about shoplifters, but on a berry farm, there are the occasional customers who will eat about as much fruit as they put in the bucket and pay for.
The funny part of that is this lady will bring this little 2 or 3 year old kid out to go pick strawberries, and we really encourage this. And he'll come back in to settle up, you know, pay for what they picked. And I'll look at him, I say, "You've been eating my strawberries?" And he'll shake his head no, and it's red all day. I've made some pictures of that. That's been good. The evidence is on his face, but he'll shake his head. No, he hadn't been eating them every time. The mom or dad, they get tickled in. It's been good.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention weddings. There's a great barn on the property that can hold lots of people with space left over for a band and buffet. If you want to marry outside, there's space for that too. Ralph says the average wedding in the United States costs about $7,600. At his place, the cost can be under $2,000.
I guess I'm old-fashioned. I still like to treat people like I'd like to be treated. I know we have to make a profit, and we have to make money, but at the same time, I don't want to rip people off just because, you know, I know there's a lot of barns in the area that rent for big money. I mean big money, but they don't have but 2 or 3 a year, but they probably making more money than I am. You know, we do 18 or 20, but they probably making more money than we are.
Among farmers, there's a saying, things will be better next year. It takes strength and perseverance to keep going year after year. And when we come back, Ralph tells us what keeps him going. Spoiler alert, it's the kids.
Well, I'm 80 years old. Maybe getting up early of a morning to get started is probably as tough as anything at this point. But I've never worked a day when I didn't like it. Never.
Ralph has lots of reasons to be happy right now, and near the front has to be his harvest. He expects a good year. His advice is to pick on a sunny day because that brings out the sugar in the berries. The berries also bring out the kids, and Ralph likes showing them where their food comes from.
In the fall of the year, during Fall Fest, I got the train ride. It goes around by a farm sitting over here. And we actually have hogs over with a smokehouse. And when I was a kid growing up out in the country, everybody killed a hog for the meat to eat. And I try to show the kid, the hog, what comes from it. And we got an artificial cow there. And actually, it's just got water in it, but the kids milk it. And I tell them about how important it is to drink milk. I ask them, what does milk do for you? And the schools does a tremendous job along that line because they'll ever one holler and make strong bones, and that's just good. In the spring of the year, we do some field trips. Kids come. And if you have never seen 100 kids in the strawberry patch, you've missed living. It's been good. I wanted people to see where their food come from, not just go to the grocery store. Kind of what got me started several years ago, I had a little restaurant here on the farm. And one Saturday morning, they said, we're running out of tomatoes. And I had a garden just up the road just a little ways. And so they gave me a bucket, and I went up there. And the little boy sitting out on the porch, and he said, where are you going, Mr. Cook? And I said, the garden. And he said, oh, I assumed he knew what a garden was. So I went and picked the tomatoes and walking back down the road. And he come running up and looked over in the bucket, and he said, well, you've been to Walmart. So at that point, I knew we needed to do something. And we've worked hard to educate people about where their food comes from.
In addition to crops, most farms also have animals.
During Fall Fest, which is runs through last week in September and all of October, I had a horse across the road here in a pen, and a little girl was standing over, probably 13 or 14 years old, and she was just standing there looking at it. So I went over to her and I said, why don't you rub it? And she said, can I? And I said, you sure can. She said, you know, I've never touched an animal in my life. And I thought, how sad. So she started rubbing that horse, and she lit up like she'd seen Santa Claus or something, you know. And I guess she stayed there 30 minutes rubbing and fooling with that horse. But there she was, 13 or 14 years old, and had never touched an animal.
Hungry in Nashville is brought to you by Out of My Pocket Productions and is copyrighted 2019 by me, Jim Grinstead. You can listen to Hungry in Nashville on our website, hungryinnashville.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Our music is by Kevin McLeod. Thanks for listening, and may you eat well.